Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Masjid Darul Salam, Toronto, Canada. Saturday after 26th Tarawih, 3rd of August 2013. How Allah will deal with the last person to enter Jannah. How death will be like for a good person. Seeing Allah will be the ultimate reward for a Jannati. The iman of Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu will exceed the iman of the rest of humanity, and he will have a one-to-one meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The bayan is presented by Hazrat Maulana Subhan Dalvi Shahid Damat Barakatuhu.
Alhamdulillah, الذي أنزل القرآن العربية وهدانا الصراط السوية والصلاة والسلام على محمد الذي بعث رسول النبي وعلى آله وصحبه الذين سلكوا طريقا مرضيا أما بعد. My respected elders, dearest brothers, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, in our Salatul Taraweeh, we recited from the last chapter of the Quran, and therein we found one surah, Suratul Infitar, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْأَبَرَارَ لَفِي نَعِيمٍ وَإِنَّ الْفُجَّارَ لَفِي جَحِيمٍ. That indeed those people who do good, those people who are righteous, those people who live their life in accordance to the way they should have done by performing virtuous actions, they will be in complete and utter bliss. And those who are fujjar, who would sin regularly, who would commit vulgar and immoral deeds, sins, who are sinful people, they will be in Jahim, the fire of hell. And as I was listening to this, I came to think about the hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةَ, that when the people of Jannah will enter into Jannah. Now understand what this means. When the people of Jannah enter Jannah, this means that the people of the fire now are going to remain in the fire, and the people of Jannah are now complete in their number. That everybody who had gone in there without any hisab and kitab, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from them, ameen. Whomsoever went in there without any hisab and kitab, he will have gone in. Anybody who had the shafa'ah and the intercession of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam or a prophet, he will go in. Anybody who was a hafiz and he took his parents in, his or those people who are close to him, or deciding on depending on who he was or what status his responsibility with his deen was he a hafiz, was he an alim, he'll be able to take people in. And generally those who are pious, etc., people will be able to intercede. Now what will happen is that there's always one who comes out last. In every race there is one who is last. And the person who will come out of Jahannam the last, he will be, from as far as the Muslims are concerned, the greatest criminal. That there wasn't a single sin that he did. There wasn't a single good deed that he did. And a lot of sins he perpetrated. That there wasn't a single sin except that he perpetrated it. So this will be the worst from amongst the Muslimin. And he would be considered the greatest criminal. He will be the last person in the fire of Jahannam. And what will happen is on that day, he will be the last one inside the fire, and the people of Jahannam will begin to tease him. That, why has your Lord forsaken you when you actually were a Muslim at the end of the day, even though you committed sins, etc., etc.? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more lines. And the slave will turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will say that, oh Allah, you know, I am the last person here and nobody else is here, there's no other Muslims here, can you please take me out of this fire? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take this person, this last person, the last criminal from as far as the Muslims are concerned, and he will take him outside the fire, but he will put him on the bank of the fire. And he will be still facing it. And then he will leave him there on that state for a while. And after a period of time, he will have an inspiration in his heart. That how about, you know, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to turn me away from here. And then he will call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will say, "Oh Allah, you know, all the people of Jahannam are in Jahannam and I'm the last Muslim here. And you know, I'm looking into it and it's still such a foul place and I can feel its heat. I'm not asking you to take me away from Jahannam or anything. All I'm asking for you is that you turn my face away and put me at a bit of a distance because it's not really nice over here." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to this slave of his, that if I grant you this, then you will ask me for more. He says, "No, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I won't ask you for anything more." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I know you're going to ask for more. He says, no, I promise I won't ask for any more. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept this dua of him. And he will take him and move him away from the fire of hell to the extent that he's a bit further away from it and his face is not facing it. After a period of time, he will have another inspiration to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to move him a bit further away. And the same thing will happen and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will move him away there to the extent that he now sees at a distance the gates of Jannah. And he's there standing for a long period of time looking at the gates of Jannah until he again calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he says, "Oh Allah, you know, I can now see the gates of Jannah. I'm not asking you to enter me into it." At one point he was saying, "I'm not asking you to take me away from Jannah." Now he's saying, "I'm not asking you to put me into Jannah. I just want you to put me by the gates of Jannah, just so I can see what is inside. I'm not saying to you to enter me in." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "We've gone this two times already. Every time I give you something, you ask again and again. I know what you're going to do. You're going to do this again." And he says, no, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I won't do anything like this. You know, it's really, the Jahannam is really, you know, it's smelly and that stink is coming out of them. Please bring me closer towards the Jannah." Then he will be taken, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring him closer and closer and closer and he will be put right in front of the gates of Jannah. Now whilst he is there, in front of the gates of Jannah, he's looking inside. For a long period, he's not saying nothing towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's just looking inside. He's seeing all the nice things that the people of Jannah are rejoicing in. And he's feeling really, really happy. And he's thinking to himself that this is something, you know, really amazing. I wish I could be in there. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires him once more again in his heart. And he says, "Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, you've brought me all the way from Jahannam. Now just put me inside Jannah anyway." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take this person and he will put him into Jannah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will then ask this man, that for you there is everything that you had in the, everything that the world contains, you have this. These are all your Jannahs, this is all your hur, these are your wives, etc. This is everything you own. And for you, there is everything you own in tenfold as well. So this person will then turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and he will say, "Oh Allah ta'ala, stop taking the mikah of me now. You're teasing me too much over here." And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, "No, that all of this is for you. All of this is for you." And he will remain into Jannah. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when this man has this conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be smiling and laughing. And when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam related this hadith, the narrator of this hadith related that even Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was laughing at the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat this, the most, can you imagine? This is the way he will treat the greatest criminal from amongst the Muslimin as far as the Muslimin are concerned. So the question comes into the mind of one who's reading this or who's understanding this or listening to this, that if this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will playfully be with that person who was considered the most sinful from amongst the Muslims are concerned, then what about that person who is just a normal person who tries to do his best, who tries to pray his salah, who doesn't even do anything bad? Can you imagine how much love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would show this person from the moment that this person passes away? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show this person immense love. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ قَالُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقَامُوا. Those people who say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Lord, and then they stay steadfast. تَتَنَزَّلُ عَلَيْهِمُ الْمَلَائِكَةِ. At the time of their passing away from this world, that the time has come now to breathe their last. Everyone here in this room will have to do it at some point. It's a reality that we'll have to face. It will happen to every single person. One thing that every living person has in common, it doesn't matter what intellect he follows, what religion he follows, what madhab he follows, whatever he follows. But the one thing every single person in this world agrees upon is that one day he will have to go. The difference is, some people say they will go here, other people say they will go there. We say, إِنَّ لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّ إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. To Allah we belong and to Him we will return. So everyone will go back towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at this juncture in a person's life, if he was a pious person in his life, at the time of his death, the malaika, the angels, they descend down upon this man who is passing away. And they say, لَا تَخَافُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. That don't be afraid. Don't be in this state where you are upset or you are depressed. Look at the words that they are saying. You know, that person who is going on a safar, he is going away somewhere, he's, you know, going to meet someone in a far country and he's leaving everything behind away in his home. And he's going elsewhere. When he's sitting there at the airport, sometimes he's there by himself, nervous. You know, when you go with the friends, and you're going with, or you know, you're going with a group of friends, or you're going with your family, everyone feels safe. Everyone feels safe, everyone feels happy that we're in a jamaat together, we're going together to this new place. But when a person is alone, he's thinking in his heart, you know, I'm by myself, it would just be a bit better if I was just to stay at home. I'm not sure if I want to go, it's going to be such a long journey. I'm going to have problems, perhaps people are going to, you know, do wrong. And all these things come into his mind of the potential threats and hazards that can happen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will put this person in peace from the very beginning. The angels will be commanded to say to this person, لا تخافوا, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid of anything. ولا تحزنوا. And don't be upset with regards to anything. That you are this person in our worldly life whom we befriended. And we are your friends in that life and we are your friends now as well. We will take care of you. You don't need to worry at all. We will take you to this Jannah, which you have been promised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This thing that you have been promised, these rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you about in the Quran, we are going to take you towards them. And this person will go on to have a very, very restful time in his grave, like the way a person sleeps on his first night of marriage. Like the way honeymoon people on honeymoon, they go to sleep for hours and hours and hours. So this is how his sleep will be feeling. He'll be so joyous, he'll be so happy that he's enjoying something really, really nice over here. And this person will end up going into Jannah and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, he will go through the stages of the grave in ease and he will go through the stages in the hereafter at ease and eventually he will go into the Jannah through Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And these angels at the time of his death, they will come with flowers and roses, and his manzar and the place where he will go into Jannah will be presented in front of him. And he himself will want to say, I want to go, I don't want to stay in this world, which is darul mihan, it is a place of tests and tribulations. Rather, when he sees that Jannah opening in front of him, even though his family members might be there, and they are crying, and he can hear them crying, and this is, you know, sometimes a person puts up, he says, who wants a ticket for Umrah? And immediately all the hands go up, I want it, and they're all trying to grab hold of it. Because this is something that insan wants, something that he has shocked towards. When he sees Jannah, he will see the thing that he will have the greatest shock forever. He will sometimes, some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, when they were passing at the time of their death, who came down to get them? The Hurul Ain came down to get them. Those damsels from Jannah, they came down to take these Sahaba radiallahu anhum into Jannah. Hanzala radiallahu anhu, he, at the time when it was the Battle of Uhud, Hanzala radiallahu anhu, he was with his wife. And he had his relations with his wife and it was compulsory upon him that he now has ghusl. However, before he could have ghusl, which was wajib upon him, as it is for a man after he has been with his wife, he could not go because news came to him that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has rumored to be killed at the hands of the mushrikeen. These were the rumors that were going by. So Hanzala radiallahu anhu loses control that how dare they have touched this to, how dare they have done this to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And he immediately gets his weaponry and he runs out into the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he is fighting and fighting and fighting until he is killed. Now, the time comes for when he's, you know, he's there now, a person who's a martyr, he's just buried there. However, it was wajib upon him before he passed away that he had to have a bath. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went by Hanzala radiallahu anhu. And the Sahaba bear testimony that when we walked past him, we saw drops of water coming down from his face. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I see the angels giving ghusl to Hanzala radiallahu anhu. So this is the things that they did. Mus'ab ibn Umair radiallahu anhu, at the time of his death, there wasn't enough kafan to cover him. Sometimes the kafan would be, if they put it covering his head, his foot would be showing. If they covered his foot, then his head would be showing. But at the time of his death, he was a person, you know, the way his death came about him, he had the flag of Islam in his hand. He was the bearer of the flag. Now they cut one of his hands off, so he held it with his other hand. When they cut this hand of his, then he held it between his chest and between whatever was remaining of his arms. And he was holding it until they absolutely chopped and hacked him down. And then he passed away in this state before somebody else could get it. Now, at the time of his death, 70,000 angels descended with a shroud for him. This is the people who do good in the worldly life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses them with immense barakah and immense goodness. At the time of the death of Hassan al-Basri, Rahimahullah was one of the greatest Muslim scholars right after the passing away of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, in some narrations, it's Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who named him this. In another narration, it's Umar radiallahu anhu who named him Hassan. But Hassan al-Basri, Rahimahullah, at the time of his death, when he was passing away, he let out a laughter, a bit of a laughter, and he said, "What sin?" Those were his last words, "What sin?" And he began laughing. And he passed away. In a dream, he was asked, in a dream, his slave a few days later saw him in a dream. And in this dream, the slave asked Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, then, "Oh my master, you know, we had heard you say your last words as being, what sin? What was the conversation that was going on?" He said that at the time of my passing away, there was someone in the room who shouted out to the angel of death that give him a severe reckoning and make him feel the pain for every sin that he has committed. So I started laughing and saying, "What sin? That my life hasn't been one in which I've committed sins. My life has been one in which I have been pious towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And this is waqi'i how he was. And the way he passed away was, you know, with firm conviction that he was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So khair, this man will be entered into Jannah. The last person will be entered into Jannah. Then what will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say to them? He will say, "Turiduna shay'an azidukum?" Do you wish for anything else? Now you are in Jannah. All the people of Jannah, inshallah, every single one of us here, our wives, our children, all the people who are affiliated with us, linked with us, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all Jannatul Firdaus. If we are not going to ask for this during these days, the reason why I'm talking about Jannah today is so that tomorrow when we are making dua after the khatam of the Quran, we have a target in our mind. We have a prize that we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. The other option today, which we could have spoken about, is وَالنَّازِعَاتِ غَرْقًا. When those angels take the soul of a person who is sinful and rip it out. And then I thought to myself, after Tarawih, you know, I don't want to put myself into depression and put the rest of the community into depression, so we'll speak about Jannah instead. So that was the other objective, the other thing that we could have spoken about. But we're speaking about Jannah. Because when you hear about Jannah, you feel happy. Don't you feel happy, you know, when you speak about Jannah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy, we will be happy. There will be no more anger. There will just be problems for the people who are in the fire of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when the people of Jannah are in Jannah, everyone's in Jannah now. And the people of Jahannam are in Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring maut, death. And He will give maut to maut. Death will be brought in the form of a ram, of an ox, a sheep. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will have this sheep slaughtered, zabah. And it will be finished. Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, finished. No more death. Now when the people of Jannah see that there is not going to be any more death, and that they are going to remain in their Jannah forever, they will be so happy that if that death was still there, they would die due to happiness. And the people of Jahannam, when they see that there is no way out now, that this is the end of the line, that they will remain as the inhabitants of the hellfire forever and forever and ever, they will let out such a shriek, such a shriek. In one hadith related by Imam Qurtubi rahimahullah, he mentions the situation. He says, "Inna Allah yab'athu ilayhim malaikatan," that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send to these people malaika, "bil atbaqi min an-nar wa masamirin min an-nar wal amdi min an-nar." They will come with hammers, canopies and pillars made from fire and nails. They'll come with a whole DIY, do it yourself building materials to make a prison for them, so that they can't ever get out or nobody can ever speak with them again. فَتُطْبِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِتِلْكَ الْأَطْبَاقِ وَتَشُدُّ عَلَيْهِمْ بِتِلْكَ الْمَسَامِيرِ وَتَمُدُّ بِتِلْكَ الْأَمَدِ. They will begin their work of hammering in and making these prisons for these people, and they would put them all in, and the extent that these pillars will be surrounded around them. لَا يَبْقَى فِيهِ خَلَلٌ يَدْخُلُ فِيهِ رَوْهٌ أَوْ يَخْرُجُ مِنْهُ غَمٌ. It will be made to such an extent that there will be not a single gap left inside this type of prison cell in which the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can get in, or the sadness of the people who are inside that can get out. It will be impossible for them to get out. That nothing will be able to stop them now. فَيَنْسَاهُمُ الرَّحْمَانُ عَلَىٰ عَرْشِهِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is on his arsh, will forget about these people. He will not care about these people now. The matter has been decided. These people are the people of Jahannam. The people of Jannat are in Jannat. People of Jahannam are in Jahannam. وَيَتَشَاغَلُونَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ بِنَعِيمِهِمْ. And the people of Jannah will begin to busy themselves with all these bounties that they see around them. You know, when you go, when you come to a new country, when I come to Canada, I want to see the Niagara Falls, I want to see the CN Tower, and I want to go here, and I want to go there. You want to see all the new things that you haven't seen in that country. The closest, we haven't got many things in UK. Everything is man-made. You've got the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Niagara Falls. When you see it, and all that rain which is that water which is coming down, and you see that mist, and you think to yourself, Allahu Akbar, this is amazing. And you see all the scientific facts behind it about how many gallons of water can be filled within a second. And sometimes, you know, we were this morning and my friends were saying to me that one Allah Kabanda, he walked right across one side of the Niagara Falls to the other side of the Niagara Falls. And there's been some situations where a person has tried jumping from the top, professional stuntman, and landing to the bottom, and he's died. And then some person who has not intended, accidentally he's fallen over the tip-top, and he's roly-polied himself all the way down, and he survived by accident. This is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when you go to a new place, you want to busy yourself in all the things which are there. You want to go to the theme parks, you want to go here, you want to go there, you don't want to stay in a hotel all day long and sleep. But rather you want to see something new. So the people of Jannah, يَتَشَاغَلُونَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ بِنَعِيمِهِمْ. They will be looking at all these fadail and all these bounties that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. That alcohol that they didn't have in the world. They'll be drinking alcohol. Those people, you know, all those things which were haram for them to do, they will be looking, and these things are all halal for them now. In this dunya, they were told that they can't be hedonistic. They can't be people who go wild and crazy and run there and here. But in Jannah, they will not just have glasses and goblets of wine and alcohol, but rather they will have rivers that they can jump into and have whatever they think about, they can have on their plate. Whenever they want to have a chicken burger, they think about that chicken burger, that bird which is flying by will be put in its plate. He eats that chicken burger and that chicken will go back into, not that chicken, that bird will go back into the air and will start flying away. Flying chicken burgers. The people of Jannah will be rejoicing in everything there is over there. They will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will be near the north of Jannah, a town's village, not a town's village, a tower People will go past these marketplaces in the morning and they will come back and the people in their household will say that you become so beautiful, you become so handsome. The people of Jannah also will have wives, so many wives they'll have, that they couldn't be people in the world, you know. People have girlfriends, 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 and they sometimes have so many girlfriends on the trot. But a Muslim man who was, you know, obedient towards what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was only in the marriage game. He didn't want to have anything to do with zina. He'll have hurul ain. And in that hurul ain, that house will be so big, that one hurul ain will be on one corner, and the other hurul ain will be on the other corner. And they will never be able to meet. So there will be no headache for the man in the middle. This is Jannat. So this is all the things that will happen in Jannah. And we can go on and on and on at length with regards to the bounties in Jannah. Sometimes the people, and you know these Hurul Ain, when they, if they were to peep into, the hadith comes that if they were to peep into this dunya, their scent, just their scent alone, would fill up half the world. That it's a very alluring scent. And the people of Jannah, when they are in Jannah, you know, they will sit on reclining chairs and they will be meeting each other, inshallah. We will also be meeting in Jannah. We will be talking about our time in the dunya. Remember when we were sitting in Masjid Darus Salam after Isha and we were talking about flying chicken burgers and all these types of things. And the people of Jannah will begin to laugh and joke in this regard that we made so much effort in Jannah. So وَيَتَشَاغُلُونَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ بِنَعِيمِهِمْ. The people of Jannah will be busy in their business. Now what happens to the people of Jahannam? Everyone's forgotten about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgotten about them. The people of Jannah who could have made dua for them and who could have asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, like, you know, some of our friends are there or people that we knew in the worldly life are there, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everyone's just forgotten about them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgotten about them. The people of Jannah have forgotten about them as well. And the people of Jannah are busy in their own thing. فَيَنْقَطِعُ الْكَلَامِ. Then speaking in between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the people of Jahannam will cut off completely. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, I never want to ever speak to you people again. I never want to speak to you people again. And what will happen to these people when they hear this? يَكُونُ كَلَامُهُمْ شَهِيقًا وَزَفِيرًا. Their kalam and their speaking amongst themselves after this will be screaming and bellowing. This word zafir from zafar, what does it mean? The term zafar means, and zafir, which is an emphasis on this, is that when a person breathes into such an extent that his lungs are filled with air, and then he screams out because he can't take it because he's in so much pain. This is what the people's speech will be thereafter. They will forget the speaking with one another. They will just be complaining and screaming and shouting. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seal them completely in this fire forever. They will just be left there. And the people of Jannah will be in Jannah. And the people of Jahannam will be in Jahannam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, now all these things are available to the people of Jannah. And He will say to them, تُرِيدُونَ شَيْئًا أَزِيدُكُمْ. Do you wish for something else? And I will give it to you. Do you wish for something more? What else could you wish for? And the people of Jannah, you know, they will be... They will see Allah subhanahu, they will be speaking towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will say to Him, أَلَمْ تُبَيِّدْ وُجُوهَنَا. Did you not whiten and brighten our faces? Meaning give us this Jannah in the first place. Have you not brightened our faces? وَتُنَجِّنَا مِنَ النَّارِ. And have you not saved us from the fire of hell? This is the greatest thing that you can give to us. فَيَكْشِفُ الْحِجَابِ. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remove that veil between Him and His slaves. And the people will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The people will see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, فَمَا أُعْطُوا شَيْئًا أَحَبَّ إِلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّظْرِ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ عَزَّ وَجَلْ. That they will not have anything or given anything in Jannah which will be more beloved to them than seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will be the most dearest thing towards the people of Jannah. And those people who are, you know, who are the people at right at the top, they will get meetings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every single day. And those people who are in other states of Jannah, they will be able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala every Jum'ah. And then there are people like Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, about which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَوُزِنَ إِيمَانُ أَبِي بَكْرٍ بِإِيمَانِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. لَرَجَحَ بِهِ, that if the iman of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was to be put in one pan of the balance, one scale, and on the other scale, the iman of Ahlul Ard, the people, the humanity, everybody in entirety, from the beginning of time to the end of time, if all the iman was placed in the other scale, and Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu's iman was placed in that first scale, the iman of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu would outweigh the iman of the entirety of humanity. So what did this iman then do for Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu? That when he will be taken into Jannah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come for everybody and meet them all once and see them all once. And then when everyone's gone, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will come back for a khususi mulaqat with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. A special meeting with Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. This is what his iman had won for him. Why? Because his mentality was, أَتَنْقُصُ الدِّينَ أَيَنْقُصُ الدِّينَ وَأَنَا حَيِّ. Is the deen going to decrease? Is there going to be some deficiency in the deen of people whilst I am alive? Rather, his mentality was that I am a person who is going to reform the society, make people, make justice prevalent in society, be good, do good, contribute to society. And this is what his iman earned him, a special meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be one-on-one with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be able to discuss in this regard as well. And then the people of Jannah will go on and they will be living there and they'll be there, as we say, happily ever after. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the ability to do those righteous deeds which will enter us into Jannah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, out of His love and His mercy and His generosity in these days, we beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if it is not in these days that He will enter us into paradise, then when, in which days will He enter us into paradise? We beg Him to enter us into Jannatul Firdaus during these days and free our necks from the fire of Jahannam. This final ashara, the first awwaluhu rahmatun, وَأَوْسَطُهُ مَغْفِرَةٌ, that its first is, as Imam Bayhaqi rahimahullah, he mentioned this hadith, that its first 10 days are with regards to rahmah, and its second days is, the second 10 days is with regards to getting your maghfirah and your forgiveness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala done. And the third and the final 10 days is so that a person can have himself freed from the fire of hell. So let us ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on these blessed nights that He takes every single one of us, our family members, those who are our aqarib and our ahbab and our muta'alikeen, those who are close to us, every single person whom we care about who have brought iman upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gives every single one of us Jannatul Firdaus, and that our non-Muslim friends, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them as well to the truth of our deen and to the truth of Islam as well, and He guides them in this regard as well, so they can too eventually also enjoy this hissa that we enjoy with regards to our day-to-day basis. Inshallah, I will be here tomorrow again after Salatul Asr. There will be after Fajr and after Dhuhr. I have a talk in another masjid, but I will return after Asr inshallah. And then there'll be bayan then, and then there'll be an Isha, and then final bayan will be on the Fajr of Monday morning inshallah, and then we will call it a day and I will go back home inshallah. Take care. Jazakallah khair.